Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 5. Our study is titled Weighed and Wanting. And I noted that this text reveals several scenes that illustrate the eventual verdict that's given, weighed and wanting. The first scene we looked at was audacious arrogance. One of the meanings of audacious is contemptuous of law, religion, or decorum, and that description certainly fits King Belshazzar's actions. The second scene was abject terror. We didn't get to finish looking at that scene during our last time together, so we'll return to it today. And then we have two more scenes as we finish our study. Today, we pick up our study from Daniel chapter 5. And as we begin, I will read from chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified." Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene: God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel: you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez: your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck. And they made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And that leads us to the final scene, which is assured judgment. Into the middle of this atmosphere of confusion and apprehension and fear, Daniel brings a calm demeanor that reflects the deep peace of God. He's confident in his God and the divine revelation he will provide. So Daniel respectfully declines the king's offer of gifts and position. Part of the reasoning for that may have been to show that the offer of reward won't affect the interpretation. Daniel says he'll read the writing and interpret it for the king. But as you notice from the text, he takes his time doing it. Before doing either the reading or the interpretation, he preaches a sermon to the king. Keep in mind, the guests are most likely still gathered, and they're listening to Daniel's words too. Daniel briefly rehearses the earlier chapters of the book with specific emphasis on the journey of King Nebuchadnezzar. He reminds Belshazzar that it was God who gave Nebuchadnezzar the kingdom. He also reminds him it was pride that caused Nebuchadnezzar to go from greatness to insanity. But when he humbled himself before God, his sanity and his kingdom were both restored. Nebuchadnezzar confessed that God was the one who raised up kings and kingdoms, and then, at his will, he set them aside for others. And then Daniel issues the stinging indictment. You knew. You knew all this, yet you haven't humbled yourself before God. Not only that, you've elevated yourself above the Lord of heaven. You took the vessels from his temple, vessels that your father had safeguarded all these years, and you used them as common drinking cups, and you praised your worthless gods. You have refused to acknowledge the God who holds your very breath in his mighty hand. Belshazzar, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, was proud, but you are blasphemously impudent. Wow. At the conclusion of that indictment, I can imagine that that great hall was so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. Here was Daniel, a man who didn't fear other men, but God alone. At the end of his sermon, Daniel turns his attention to the words on the wall. Transliterated into English from Aramaic, they are Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Each of these words is a standard of measurement. That's the simplest reading of the Aramaic words. The word mene means mina, and it's repeated for emphasis. The word tekel is the equivalent of shekel, and parson is the plural of peres. Daniel then reads the consonants with a different technique, which yields the interpretation, numbered, weighed, and divided. There's a sense in which he loosens the knot with wordplay. Daniel interprets Mene as indicating that God has numbered Belshazzar's kingdom and finished it. It corresponds to the idea that man's days are numbered, and the repetition may simply be for emphasis. Tekel means weighed, with the idea that the king has been placed on the balances and he has come up short. Peres is very close to the Aramaic word for Persians. God most likely wanted to lead the king's thoughts in that direction. So Belshazzar is made to understand that Babylon will be taken from him and given to the Medes and the Persians. And so at the king's command, they put the royal robe on Daniel, and they place the gold chain around his neck, and they proclaim him as the third ruler of the kingdom. But all these honors were short-lived and useless, because even while Daniel is interpreting these words, the invading armies are pouring into the city. The text ends with these words. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So what are we to make of this account in Holy Scripture? Is it just an interesting story about a proud king who received his just reward? Well, it is that, but it's so much more than that. First, it's a fulfillment of God's promises. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of Babylon on a night of revelry, just like Daniel records. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 13, chapter 21, and in Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 33 to 58. The downfall of Babylon not only reaffirms God's promises to Israel, it's an illustration of the ultimate downfall of the unbelieving world. You see, our world today is very similar to Babylon in the way it fosters human pride, but provides little in the way of security. Much as Babylon fell on that fateful night in 539 BC, so too the world will be overtaken by disaster when the day of the Lord finally arrives. Let us never forget that man may have the first word, but God will always have the last word. There's an additional lesson here. We may look at God's judgment on Belshazzar as impulsive and sudden. His sin of misusing the temple vessels was serious. But was it more serious than Nebuchadnezzar's tyranny, his brutality, and his pride? What's the difference? Well, you must admit that Nebuchadnezzar was a slow learner, but he was a learner. At the end of his experiences, he acknowledges God for who he is. Belshazzar had the record of all that happened to his father, his predecessor, and yet he refuses to learn from God's judgments on Nebuchadnezzar. Like Nebuchadnezzar, our path of learning is sometimes 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. I wonder sometimes how God feels as he watches us stumble along. But like a loving parent with a toddler, he helps us get back on our feet and keep moving forward. Unfortunately, some, like Belshazzar, have stopped responding to God's helping hand, and they're not interested in the evidence of salvation or the pursuit of discipleship. The picture of God in the Bible is that of one who is willing and ready to teach us who he is. He creates or allows circumstances in our lives to give us the opportunity to learn and to grow. Let's be pupils who delight our teacher with our desire for learning and our obedience. Because ultimately, we will stand before him, either in the righteousness of Christ to receive the reward of our faithfulness, or in our own righteousness, which will result in us being, like Belshazzar, weighed and wanting. You decide. My friend, were you blessed by the teaching on today's broadcast? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just write and request it by its title, Weighed and Wanting. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.com or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Weighed and Wanting. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Weighed and Wanting. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we begin a new study, The Servant of the Living God, from Daniel chapter 6. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.